The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, it's wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining. We have on the line now a follow-up interview after our Bringing America Back to Life convention. As you all know, we follow up with all our presenters and ask them the questions that we were unable to get to after their presentations. So the way our Bringing America Back to Life convention works is our presenters give a presentation for about 40 to 50 minutes, and then we take the rest of the time and people can submit questions that we ask them. There is always way more questions than we have time for, so that's what we're doing right now. I have on the line with me Father Jason Sharon, and I think you're going to absolutely love what he has to say, what he has to do, what he is doing. It's just, he's an amazing guy. Father Sharon, thank you so much for joining us. It's so great. You're such a busy man that I'm always honored when people like you take time to, you know, to be with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be able to speak about the gospel of life.
Absolutely. So let's just talk about who is Father Sharon. I can't do it anywhere near the justice that you can. You were ordained a priesthood in the Ukraine Catholic Church for the Diocese of St. Josephat in 2008. You have served a number of different places. You are currently the pastor of the Holy Trinity Ukraine Catholic Church in Carnegie, PA, and the pastor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Wheeling. You've served on the Presbyterial Council of the Ukraine Catholic Diocese of Parma, Ohio. Tell us a little bit about who is Father Sharon.
Father Sharon is a recovering sinner who trusts in the mercy of God.
I love it.
That's my bio. And I came from just a broken family that wasn't particularly religious in any sense of the word. And when I was in high school, the Lord really touched my heart and brought me closer to Him. And that happened through His mother and through the pro-life movement. And so I entered seminary right out of high school. And here I am.
Yeah, and you are a Ukrainian Catholic with the Ukrainian Catholic Church, which
yes,
means
yes.
that you can be married. So you are married,
yes.
and you have lots of children.
Yeah, we have seven children. We have one grandchild, and we have many spiritual children in our parish here.
Yeah,
but that is a point of discipline in the Universal Church. You know, you read in the about the early church history, and you see that there were married clergy. You see this, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles and with the letters of Paul. And the Eastern Church has just continued with that. So if men are given a vocation from the Lord to be a priest, if, you know, the criteria is, do you love God? Do you seek to serve God with holy hands? And it doesn't matter if he's a married man or a celibate man. You know, the criteria is that, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if he feels called within that calling towards celibacy, then that usually takes the form of living that out to God through a monastic community, usually. And if he's married, then it takes obviously the form of giving his life to God through the community of his domestic church, the family.
Yeah, absolutely. You are currently a spirit. Let's look, get into, you came to talk at the convention, and the title of your presentation was Healing the Soul of America. Beautiful title. You came because we wanted to give you an opportunity to highlight what you are currently doing, and that is currently spearheading the establishment of the Holy Protection of the Mother of God Shrine in Pittsburgh. What is this shrine?
If you have any teachers in your audience here, Molly, they'll know what I say when I speak about backward lesson planning. A teacher begins the school year planning lessons, looking at the end of the year, and then working her way back to the beginning of the year, so that when the students walk in, the teacher already knows what the goal is that they're working towards. The students don't see that. The students see it being unfolded from the first day of school towards the end of school. But for the teachers, it begins in their mind. They already have the end as the goal. And so what this is we seek to give thanks and praise to God for all that he has done for us, the gift of life, with the aim of doing this on the 2000th anniversary of our Lord Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, his ascension, and the gift of Pentecost, the birth of the church. And that's going to be on 2033. So with that goal in mind, we're trying our best to do everything we can to unite Catholics, Orthodox, Protestants, all people of goodwill who love Christ, to get everyone on track with this in mind, that on that by that date of Pentecost 2023, we can have a temple, a sanctuary, a holy place lifted up to God on behalf of our whole nation, where we can say, God, accept this humble offering of your divided body, but now united by this thank offering in reparation for our sins against life. And so between now and 2033, we hope to, to do really a journey like Israel in the desert, to take up our cross and to live a penitential life, to offer penances, to do pilgrimages, to preach, repent, 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 America, for your sins against life. He puts before us life and death, and we have chosen death in the form of 65 million surgical abortions of our children. But the goal is that by offering people pilgrimages on foot where they can be alone with God, no cell phones, just going on these pilgrimage routes we're planning, where people can do this over the course of days, even weeks sometimes, as a collective expression of our sorrow for our sins against life and family, that by 2033, we can raise up a holy altar collectively and say, God, we are sorry for what we've done. Please accept this external manifestation of our gratitude to you for giving us life in Christ and forgiving the sins of our nation.
Amazing. What a beautiful, beautiful vision. Folks, I'm sure you're feeling as Father Sharon is actually speaking about this, I'm getting chills because this is exactly, I do a 1 year Bible. I read the 1 year Bible. I've been reading it since 1991. And every year as I go through when the Israelis or with the chosen people fall away and then make their effort to come back again to serve God, this is part of what happens. They do something really significant so that the people, God doesn't need it. We need it, Father. I think that's exactly what happens. We are the ones that need it to bring us to where we need to be. You know, whilst you were at the convention, as I mentioned to everybody at the beginning of the program, people submit questions to ask you. So you gave a beautiful presentation just talking about where we are today in our world. As Christians, we are in not a very good place. It's pretty dark and we all know it. I mean, I'm getting so many people who are saying to me, there's something happening. There's something moving. And you very articulately talked about what is happening and some of the things that you see that we can do to maybe lessen the impact of where we're going. One of the questions that was asked of you is, how do we open our spiritual eyes to see what is really happening to us?
I put that down to three things in my own life that have helped open my spiritual eyes. And people often think these things are penances or punishments from God, but they're not. They're remedial. Like a doctor gives someone things to do. It's not to punish the patient, but it's to help them recover their health. And these three things that I find are helpful in opening our spiritual eyes to what's really happening is fasting, psalmody, and manual labor. Mm-hmm. Fasting, it unplugs us from the comforts of this age and the flesh. Psalmody fills up that void with the mind of Christ, because the Psalms give us the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. And with wisdom, your spiritual eyes are given focus. And manual labor, because it's through manual labor that, the Father of Mercies gave Adam his kind of restitution, that he was to work the land. And it's through manual labor that man is humbled. And it's only in humility that we grow. You cannot hope to a plant to grow if it's not buried first in the seed in the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with our lives, is we need to be humbled. And manual labor does that. Mm-hmm. And it takes our attention away from the lofty glamour of this world. So those are the three things, is wow. Fasting, psalmody, and manual labor. Those are indispensable in my experience to helping opening the spiritual eyes.
Beautiful, beautiful. The next question that I have for you is, how do you see the blood being shed in Ukraine as fitting in with these biblical times?
Well, we are definitely living in biblical times, and we have to interpret the events of the times in which we live from the perspective of the Word of God. This is the problem with many people in the church today, is that they are reading the script that the secularists give us, and they want us to interpret, COVID through the eyes of medicine or science or politics. They want us to interpret war through the same. And if we are people of Jesus Christ, then we need to interpret the signs and events of this age through the eyes of the church and scripture. So what do we think when we hear the word war? We Christians know from, Romans chapter 2, that war, like plague, like famine, is a punishment for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like the God of Israel sending these plagues to Pharaoh. He wasn't doing it so much to punish Pharaoh, but he's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And he didn't wake up. His heart was hardened. So God sends us plagues, war, famine, as a consequence of our own willful disobedience and sin to wake us up. God sent, the whale to Jonah, who refused God's call. And then that woke Jonah up, and he went and he preached what? Repentance.
Absolutely.
To Nineveh. And so God, Ukraine is a special place on the earth. It is perhaps one of the most religious societies in the world. It's definitely that and Romania are the two most religious societies in Europe, bar none. But Ukraine recently has chosen, I think Ukraine was chosen by God to turn the hearts of the sons and daughters of Europe back to the living God. But Ukraine has played kind of the harlot by imitating Western secularism recently. And the war has reinvigorated the faith in Ukraine. I've been there three times in the past 2 years, and the faith has definitely been reinvigorated. And hopefully after this war, like Jonah in his contact with the whale, hopefully after this war, Ukraine will heed the warning and proclaim repentance to Europe, like Jonah did. And I believe that's Europe's Ukraine's destiny. Mm-hmm. Is a prophetic destiny. Andrew Sheptytsky spoke about this, that Ukraine is to proclaim liberty to hostage Europe. But I think in the past few years, it was caught up in the cool kids club and wanting to imitate Europe. It was the first nation consecrated to the Blessed Mother of God in the 12th century. It has a special role in salvation history. We see that the word Chernobyl translated to English means wormwood, which is what we see in the book of Revelation, that, the waters of this earth will be made bitter with wormwood, Chernobyl. So there's definitely, I think, a role for Ukraine in world history. It's a role as a prophet like Jonah. But I believe that this war is being used by God to you know, wake Ukraine up and call her to her God-given vocation,
yeah,
as a prophet, and to not be ashamed of the deeply religious nature of her vast majority of her people.
Absolutely. The next question that we have is, do you see, and you talked about this during your presentation, folks, you can go and listen to Father's presentation. Go, if you go to Bringing America Back to Life, bringingamericabacktolife.org, and you click on speakers and go to present speakers, you can just scroll down and Father's presentation is there, and you can listen to the full presentation. But one of the things you talked about is Elijah. And it says, the question is, do you see any Elijahs in today's world? Men who are willing to stand up with complete faith in our God versus the gods of shed blood.
Yes. You know, the Elijahs, we have to look at the life of Elijah to see the Elijahs. And the life of Elijah was one of isolation, ostracization, affliction, and persecution. He was in the minority. And so if you want to see the Elijahs today, don't look for prodigious signs, although that, you know, may happen, but look first and foremost to their fidelity, to their humility, and to their affliction. That's the sign of a prophet, because all of the prophets are persecuted, and almost all of them are martyred. Elijah was taken up, as you know, in the fiery chariot. But I do see them, and my first criteria is to look and see, who are these brave men and women who are imprisoned, who are in the minority, who are persecuted for the truth. And Mark Hook here in Pennsylvania is one of those. I think Father Fidelis Moschinski is another one. I think Bishop Joseph Strickland, Bishop Schneider, I think Cardinal Burke. These are all, Elijahs today. Up in Canada, you have Mary Wagner. So yes, we do have Elijahs, but the question is this, not are there Elijahs? The question is, are we like the people of Israel who ignored the prophet? So if we have Elijahs today, are we listening to them?
Are we listening? Very good point. Very good point. We have, with our Personhood Alliance organization that Cleveland Right to Life helped to form probably a good 10 years ago now, but we are still we're still a member of that, and we still have board presence on it. But one of our board members, and he's been all over the news, Paul Vaughan, has been convicted of the FACE Act, and because he was praying and singing outside of an abortion facility. That's an Elijah. I mean, that, you're absolutely right. You look at these people and say, these are the people that are really standing in the gap here. How do we help them? What do we do? Certainly pray for these people, because my goodness gracious, they've taken up, they've taken up the fight, and they're fighting it fiercely. So God bless them so much for that. The next question that I have for you is, can you describe what you mean by a liturgical battle?
Great question. Every spear in battle has a tip, and the tip for the spiritual battle against evil is the body and blood of Christ. It was the body and blood of Christ that was the tip of the battle on Good Friday, because it was that same body and blood that was offered up to the Father, and it was the Lord who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he expired. And this is the point of the battle, is to win over the hearts of the sons and daughters of God by forgiving their sins. And the same means and the same goal is used today. What was visible in Christ then has now passed invisibly to the sacraments today. So that same body and blood defeated death in Hades during Good Friday, Easter, it's that same body and blood that's to be offered now liturgically to defeat the cult of death and the cult of child sacrifice. And we've been afraid, ashamed, and reticent to put it in those terms in the past five decades. Liturgy is our only weapon, not lobbying, not anything else. Liturgy is to be offered for an intention, and we need to use the liturgy properly, reverently offered for the explicit defeat of our spiritual enemies and for the reordering of creation in and through Christ Jesus. So we need to have people having liturgies offered reverently, beautifully, for the defeat of the cult of death and for the defeat of child sacrifice and for the lifting up of the child. Mm-hmm. Mother and child.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the next couple of questions, you're going to have to go through them quickly because we have about 3 minutes or 4 minutes left in our interview here. So one of the ones, and I really wanted you to take a little bit of time with maybe a minute and a half or so on this one, it's how do we defeat the death cult, the demonic death cult? Please describe what happened to the abortion mill when the Byzantine priest set up an altar and declared the divine liturgy.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing is we don't have to do anything, Molly. It's God that does it. We just have to step out of the way and get our ego out of the way and do what he has asked us to do.
Absolutely.
To offer this. So by praying for it, we have to will it. We have to pray for it. And that's all we have to do is just to do what we've always been told to do. Do this in memory of me. Mm-hmm. So the second thing is, you know, when this priest offered the Byzantine divine liturgy down in Raleigh back in 2009, 2010, you know, the demons were infuriated. I think the saints around there that day were emboldened that, you know, finally the divine sacrifice was offered to stop child sacrifice. And I didn't see any angels there, but I could tell you they were jubilant. Mm-hmm. They were jubilant because less than a couple years later, the facility was entirely shut down.
Wow. Wow. This has happened here in Cleveland as well. We have a dear, dear priest who had had his church just maybe 500 yards from an abortion facility. And he did the same thing. And very, very shortly afterwards, it closed down as well. So amazing. Okay. So the next three are going to be quick I'm just going to ask them and you can answer as quickly as you can. Do you think that the influence of the diabolic in today's world is unprecedented in the New Testament times?
Yes, unprecedented since New Testament times, no doubt about it.
Okay. Building a memorial to the unborn is a wonderful idea. How do we help? That was a wonderful question. How do we help you?
Give me your time, talent, and treasure. and they can do that by going to our website, www.holyprotectionshrine.org, or they can write me an email. My last name, first name, SharonJason@gmail.com, and tell me how they are able to help. Some people have been sending in, their jewelry. You know, I have this ring from my grandmother. Melt it down, use it for a chalice, use it for the domes.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
That is so awesome because then it really is the body, the body of Christ moving towards the solution. That is such a cool idea. I absolutely love that. Absolutely love it.
I'm desperate for help. So any and all things are welcome.
Yeah. And they can, of course, send you donations, financial donations. And again, folks, I will put this up onto our website. So if you didn't get it done, I'll give it again one more time. But if you didn't get it done, go to fromthemedian.org, look for Father Jason's name and just type it in there and search for it and it'll pop up and the information will be there. It's again, holyprotectionshrine.org is the name of the website. Father Sharon, thank you so much for all you're doing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm so pleased. A friend of ours gave me your name and said, you need to have Father Sharon come to the convention. I'm so pleased he did because it's been wonderful. Absolutely wonderful getting to know you and just watching the work, God's work unfolding through you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Molly. And thank you for all you do for bringing America back to life.
Thank you. God bless you lots. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say good night and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org. Or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
The This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.